This is the Don and Mike Show. Would you like to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? Well, then how about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations and restrictions for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Don and Mike Show, 10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 22030. Isn't that something? Thank you, and God bless.
Hi. Welcome to our show.
Hey.
Take your stinking paws off me, you damn dirty ape!
Right. Here we are.
Hi.
So.
It sounds different. Have they been messing with it?
Of course.
Can you believe Michael Johns was voted off American Idol?
I put my hands together.
Hello. Hello.
Hello.
I agree with what Rob said. Huh? He was voted off because he was wearing an ascot.
Hello.
Hello.
We'll play that
Hello.
Version.
Hello.
Hello. I'm just going to play a couple of songs in their entirety today. This one to start.
Okay.
To start the festivities. And I do appreciate you listening. This is the very last Don and Mike Show, and it is Friday, April 11th. Look how far we've come.
Waking up at the start of the end of the world, but it's feeling just like every other morning before. Now I wonder what my life is going to mean if it's gone. The cars are moving like a half a mile an hour, and I started staring at the passengers and waving goodbye. Can you tell me what was ever really special about me all this time? But I believe the world is burning to the ground. Oh well, I guess we're gonna find out. Let's see how far we've gone. Let's see how far we've gone. Well, I believe it all is coming to an end. Remember caring for an hour or so. Tried to cry and I couldn't stop myself. I started running but there's nowhere to run to. I sat down on the street, took a look at myself. Say where you going, man, you know the world is headed for hell. Say your goodbyes if you got someone you can say goodbye to. Well, it was cool, cool. It was just all cool. Now it's over for me, and it's over for you. Well, it's gone, gone, baby, it's all gone. There's no one on the corner, and there's no one at home. Well, it was cool, cool. It was just all cool. Now it's over for me, and it's over for you.
Damn right.
All right, there you go.
Yeah.
Start to that Matchbox 20. And this is the last Don and Mike Show. Thanks a lot for listening. Where you guys been?
I just wanted to say.
Where you been? I've been here every day for 2 weeks.
We've been around. We've been traveling in Thailand.
Where you been? Okay, right. Hi. Welcome to the show. Here's where we're at, for those of you wondering what the frig is going on.
What is going on?
Well, what's going
no
on
No one's
is,
told me anything.
Michael Johns was voted off American Idol last night.
Because he was wearing an ascot.
And my athlete's foot is back. I actually went to a podiatrist.
No. Again?
Yeah, I went to a podiatrist, though.
Good.
Mike, this is for you. One of the last nuggets I'll give you.
What, are you going to show me the toe?
No, I'm just going to tell you. It's not on the toe. It's on my foot.
All right.
And I have a form of athlete's foot called moccasin athlete's foot from wearing moccasin slippers that do not allow enough air from my feet to ventilate.
Well, you know, the whole getting ready for this show today, you further my feelings of total nostalgia because I've been thinking back on, you know, we've talked so many times about all the different things we've done, and we've gone back and replayed a lot of the stuff we've done this week. But when you talk about certain stories, you know, an indelible memory of you in this show will be when we went out to Los Angeles.
That's
and went
your
to the,
memory, Mike. That's a memory that,
well,
that
I'm
you
sharing
have.
It. I'm sharing it. And, of course, going out to the Arsenio Hall show. And to my right was a former engineer that we worked with, a gentleman, wonderful, talented engineer by the name of Nick Rosenoff, who, aside from being a very talented engineer,
he had no sense of smell.
He had a tremendous problem with breath.
Wow.
With breath odor. And
he
it
had
was,
death breath.
And so I was dealing with an excited guy who was at a television show, so he was babbling in my ear, and I was getting the death breath. And to my left, Don had his moccasins without socks on.
Yeah.
And when you kick those moccasins off...
Not that I'm keeping track of this, but this is almost 15 years ago now you're talking about.
I believe you went for an itch then. I think you were kicking the moccasin off to go for a little pre-Arsenio scratch.
Maybe so.
And I all I know is the combination of both and a slightly warm television studio. He did not keep his TV studio like Letterman does. Right. And it was just a...
Well, there you go.
And it's memories like that that make me want to cry today.
Of course. My growth as a person that now, here I am in 2008, I actually went to a foot doctor for the first time ever.
You have moccasin athlete's foot,
which is easily treatable with a fungal thing that you get over the counter. And he said,
"You don't have to go for the real expensive stuff that you know makes your nails."
But my bottom was bleeding,
I was bleeding to death.
Okay, hi everybody. This is Don and Mike Show. This is our last show together, and here's why we're at this point right now. It was about a year ago that I informed CBS that I was going to be knocking off at the end of May. And we have a signed document that said that. And there were things happening in my life, all good things, that led me to believe around the time that we were going to take our vacation almost a month ago, that I just felt the time was right for me to cut out, that I thought we were doing real good, funny shows, and Mike and everybody was set with their deal. And I even said to Michael Hughes, our de facto general manager, right before
Thank you, Rob.
Right before we went on vacation, I said to him, seriously.
Some of us will still be working for him.
Said, You can save 2 weeks' salary if we just accelerate this right now. And he said, no, take 2 weeks and think about it. So this was not a shock to CBS. Came back. Here's the deal. I was so happy on this vacation, not because I went anywhere exotic. I didn't. But because something that I've noticed recently when I'm away from the show is I'm not taking my meds. And I'm talking about the anxiety med and the bed to go to sleep at night, and
medicine for schizophrenia.
Yeah, right. You know, my Elvis bottles of medicine from my many, many, many maladies. Some of them
the cocktail.
Oh, I know, Mike.
The AZT cocktail. Yes, I like mine with olives up, stirred, never shaken.
That's right.
You go away from the show, and you no longer have to take your many meds.
So anyway. In all seriousness, I'm going to try to get my voice together here.
Okay.
This happens to me when I get emotional.
I know, we're all going to try. We're all going to hang in there.
So bear with me. This is really about Sweet Frida, and I'm going to be delicate talking about this at the beginning of the show, because this is a cold reality that Frida has passed away, and it's been nearly 3 years, and I have met a wonderful woman. I have been so blessed by God. I don't know what I did to have one angel in my life for 25 years and then think I was never going to find anybody else. And I swear to God to you, this woman came out of nowhere, wanted nothing from me, didn't know me from Adam. And I found, and I truly believe that God arranged for Janet to come into my life. She has been so well received by my family and I've not talked about the growing pains that she's had to endure with my family, like, you know, over 2 years ago where Bart was downright rude to her and people were indifferent. because it's what happens after someone passes away. So keeping in mind that doing this show specifically with you guys here, with Mike, Buzz, Rob, everybody that's worked on the show, it is a reminder to me of Frida. And that's why after Frida died, the company came to me when I was going to quit, I think the second time, and they threw around even, how would you guys like to be on in the morning? And that didn't happen, but they built us these nice new studios because I needed a change. And I thought that a change either in time slot or in venue would make my thoughts about Frida go away. But I found out that it's not time slot and it's not what building I'm broadcasting in. It's where I'm at emotionally with the guys on the show and with you, everybody that's listening.
With the actual process of doing the show.
Right. Yeah. Now, this is hard because Frida was a part of the show for a long time. And there's a lot of people out there that love and remember Frida as I do and I will every day in my life. But there's also, in my opinion, a segment of the audience, and I know because they've spoken to me in person, that just finds something not quite right about me being with somebody else. And it may be my perception of this. I think I understand the perception of people out there and of situations. You don't know what it's like when you lose somebody. And I lived my life on the radio with Frida. And we're doing a show where I'm living my life now. And I think I've mentioned this before. When I talk about Janet or I talk about my life, it's so reminiscent of, to me, of when I talked about Frida.
Mm-hmm.
And the last thing that I would ever want to do is cheapen Frida's memory or my future that I have with Janet. So for a while I thought, well, I just won't talk about my life on the show. And that didn't work out very well. And when we were on vacation, like on the sixth day, I turned to Janet and I said, I'm just so happy with you and happy with the way that our lives are. I just don't know if I can go back and do it. And I mean, I could do it. I could come in here and fake it. And I'm leaving a lot of money behind even in 2 months. But it's not about money. It's about being loyal to you, the listeners, and to the guys in this room. And the truth is, it's just time for me to move on. Because I can't get a fresh start here. Because every time we do anything, we still have a button right here that's labeled Frida. All right, promise me, I ain't being a martyr here. But I've never mentioned it to the guys. Think about when I look to my right hand, press that button every single time. I'm pressing a button that says Frida.
Right.
Now, I could say to somebody, hey, change that. But that wouldn't stop.
That feels weird too, right?
For instance, when the hotline rings, working with you guys on this show,
mm-hmm.
It is my first thought, oh, it'll be Frida calling in.
Right. Right.
Even as recent as this past vacation, we're having dinner in Ocean City, and somebody very nice came up and Ed said they really like listening to the show, and I got a request that I get an awful lot. Do you know where I can get a tape of the show you did about Frida? And it was a combination of all of these things where I finally, the light bulb just went off, and I said, now's time.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, it could be bad. The last thing I want to do is rock the apple cart and make this an uncomfortable show. I've already felt that. The fact that I was leaving, I had told Mike a while ago that I felt like Tiki Barber, the New York Giant who had announced he was leaving and then was hanging around for the rest of the year. And you guys are moving on with something else, which, as you know, I wholeheartedly endorse and thrilled for you. Ecstatic, you got Beth Ann back.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, I just got the feeling everybody would be okay here. So why should I postpone the rest of my life? I've been given a unique chance by God not to be alone. Because after Frida died, I thought I was going to be alone. Because
mm-hmm.
I'm not an easy person to live with. And I am set in my ways.
I disagree with that. I take issue with that.
And I am set in my ways.
Mm-hmm.
And it really
take issue with that too.
Took a unique person like Janet to make me realize that there could be life after Frieda, and she's been marvelous. I mean, seriously, the things that she's, you know, our house is a shrine to Frieda. Big Frieda is very much a part of my life and very much a part of Janet's life. And there's a lot of stuff happening in my life as well over the next month of which I don't have any control over. For instance, my son graduates college next month. As it turns out, I would have to take 2 days off the show for that. He's graduating on a Friday morning at 9:30. I got to fly out the day before. You miss 2 days there. My daughter is going to have major spinal surgery in the month of May. She'll be in the hospital for at least 7 days. I would have to cut out for a whole week there. We were sitting looking at all of these things and actually came up with a plus and minus chart. And the plus that I kept coming back was that I love radio and I love doing this show, but there are too many things that are conflicting right now in my head that I can't go with what has made me successful going with my gut. Because right now, for the last, I don't know, 6-7 months, my gut has been saying, now's the time. Really, now's the time. Don't embarrass yourself. And don't be afraid about saying to people, you know, I'm sorry if you're let down that I'm leaving. I appreciate it. I'm truly humbled by a lot of the stuff that I've seen, like, on the WJFK website.
Right.
Frankly, if I would have known you felt that way, I wouldn't be leaving.
Now, don't go and say that.
But now that I do, I still am.
Yeah.
And it's very gratifying. But that's where I'm at. I just felt for this show, it would be one thing if we were going to fold up the tents and pack everything in. But being as the show will continue in a new evolution with Mike and everyone else, I felt like I was a dead weight. So the easiest thing to do was just put things into motion. And it caught the station a little bit off guard, even though Hughes had been given some notice on this a couple of weeks in advance. And I felt like the weight of the world was off my shoulders, because I have lived my entire life in radio the last 35 years, because I love this business so much. It's my passion. It's been, I get up in the morning, the first thing I think about, what are we going to do on the show today? I love writing notes about things to talk about. I love talking about pop culture and everything that's happening. I can't share everything, and I want to, and I feel like if I stay, I would have more resentment than I do now towards the job, and I only have resentment towards the job because of feelings about Frieda.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry to be long-winded about this.
No, I think you got a lot of people in this room that, you know, you and I have talked a little bit, and that's the first time we've heard you explain it like that. And, you know, I've been reflecting about the way it's been, and usually in many circumstances you think about somebody that undergoes the tragic loss that you've gone through, and I feel gratified that even with the circumstances being what they are, that all of us are walking away from this situation whole. We are all walking away whole. And really, I'll be honest with you. I think I agree with you that I said if this thing was to continue, perhaps that wouldn't be the case. And I think there's not a person in here, you know, your radio family, the people that are here, that I know I speak for all the guys when we understand completely where you're coming from, because you know what? As much as we didn't go through it, and we didn't, and that's an important distinguishing factor here, we did not go through what you went through.
Right.
But you know something? We were there. We were right there, and we saw it, and we witnessed it, and we felt it as best as we could under the circumstances.
Right.
And you know, when somebody goes through what you've gone through, in many cases, that destroys relationships. I mean, marriages. It destroys, it destroys relationships between siblings. It destroys everything. And it didn't. I mean, you did survive this and come out on the other end. And I look at this as your final step in coming out on the other end of this.
Thanks. And that, Mike, that's exactly it. I mean, if you look, especially my goodness, since you and I have worked together, which is now many more years than I work solo. If you are a regular listener of the show, Frieda was identified with the show. You still, if you turn the show on now and you didn't know what would happen, you might think of her.
We had a function that we went to the other night, I think I mentioned to you. I mean, that's when I would be talking to Frieda, right, when we go to a social event together, and she was still very much. And it makes sense when you say to us, being here reminds you of that every day.
Sure.
And makes it almost impossible for you to move on. That speaks very loudly to me. I understand where you're coming from.
It's not that I don't like radio. I'm sure I'll get back on this horse again someday, but I won't do this type of show, I don't think, ever again. I'm so proud of the things that we have accomplished on this show that it would be dumb to try to recreate it, but there's a spot for me somewhere in radio down the road. I mean, the nice people at this company has been pretty good to me. I got to be honest. I like saying they're dumbasses. Generally speaking, they are. But they've been very, very patient with me through my starts and stops. And even today, I had just a wonderful conversation with Dan, the president of the company, and it was left like the door's open.
Nice.
Not that I'm going to come back through that door, because really, if I work anywhere next, it'll either be in Ocean City, Maryland, or for the BBC. I am not kidding you.
I say, old chap.
I am not kidding you. Wow. I speak the gospel truth here.
That's cool.
It's in my my contract. I can work without fear of that stupid thing where you
non-compete.
Can't be. Yeah. They'll let me work in Ocean City, Maryland.
Both with the same amount of listeners.
Yeah.
Which.
and as much as I am excited about the thought, and it's just a wild thought that I'll never do about going to London and being on BBC One or whatever it is I talked to the guy about, uh-huh, every time I've talked to him about it, it would be a record type for me.
Cool.
Yeah, you can play a record.
Being a smartass between the records. Every time I came back and would talk about that, and I'm talking about a year, 2 years down the road, right, I still come back to it. Yeah, sure, it sounds great, except it's not America.
Yeah.
So I really don't think.
You hated it over there. We've been over there.
Yeah.
Do you remember when we looked for Taco Bell?
It's a good environment for radio.
Would the BBC let you work from Ocean City?
I've not had that discussion, Buzz.
You might think about it.
Not had
the BBC.
Not
had. The BBFNC. This is London.
No, I'd be the ugly American. They love that.
You'd be like House in reverse.
No, you know me with my inflated ego. I'd go over there. I'd be the American Simon Cowell.
It might happen.
I got the big man boobs. I'm highly opinionated. I got a bad haircut.
I'll get you the shirts.
It'd be funny to turn that in the other direction. You suck. How would that go over?
Anyway, all of that is just spitballing down the road. Don't know that I do still love radio, and I will talk about that later when we get to that point of the show. But I hope everybody understands where I'm coming from on this. I speak for everybody, but being as it's my last day, I really will monopolize the conversation and say I sincerely appreciate everything that every one of our listeners has ever done for us. There is no doubt that Mike and I would not be here right now without all of you mouth breathers. So sincerely, sincerely, thank you. It has been humbling. I'm so glad I'm not going to be here Monday.
That's nice.
And it's you.
That's really nice.
You got to stay with him on Monday. With all these people.
Well, you know, it's an interesting relationship we've always had. We love them. We hate them. We like them. We don't like them. But they're what makes the show go. You know that. That really is. That's the way it works.
Oops. Forgot to turn the microphone on. Nothing but respect for our listeners. And we do thank you. Because Mike and I have accomplished a lot of stuff that I don't think is going to be redone in Washington radio.
Forever.
I am so happy that, at least in this market, Washington, D.C., I've been either on my own at WPGC when I worked at nights, or with Mike and I when we did mornings, middays, and afternoons. I've had the pleasure of being rated number one in every single time slot in Washington, D.C. radio. I did one before I met Mike, and then the other three with Mike. And we've had one hell of a run for every time that we've been written off and every time that someone is ready to throw another pile of dirt on us.
Right.
We rise like a phoenix, and the reason that we rise like the phoenix is because our listeners are devoted. and they listen to every single word, and they listen longer than people listen to any other radio show.
In many cases, they take it more seriously than we do. And, you know, sometimes we've gotten annoyed at that, but, I mean, you're blessed when you have that doing this kind of a show. When people take it that seriously, this tiny little radio show that on the, you know, on the world stage, we're just a blip of it.
We are dick.
I mean, we really, really are. But here, and, you know, we've talked about it a lot. I mean, and you did nights, and we're number one at night when you were at PGC. But the fact that you and I together have been number one in mornings, middays, and afternoons, I mean, that's a hell of an accomplishment. Yeah. And I think because of the nature of you and I and the way we conduct ourselves, it probably does not get the kind of coverage that one would really expect it to get. But the fact is,
we're not gracious winners.
We're not gracious winners. And you know what? By design and also by necessity, we have had to toot our own horn over the years. We truly have, and that's the only way it gets tooted. And I think people ought to know that, especially when you've got all the speculation about the, you know, what's happening.
There's the toot.
That's tooting our own horn.
But before we get going here, and we'll say goodbye to each person on the show as we continue today, and we'll peel it down eventually to just me and Mike, and then just down to me as the lights go down.
Do you want us to stay in the building when it's just you?
Oh, no. Get in your cars and leave.
All right. Lick the windows.
Get in your cars and leave. Mm-hmm. Mike, I was writing a list of some of the people that we've had the pleasure of working with. The ones that come to my mind that I'd like to thank up front, our producers, Frank Murphy, Diana Silman, the plaintiff, Beth Ann McBride, Rob, and also Yanni. And we've had so many other talented people on the show, the late David Haynes.
Yep.
Sherry Ellicker, an incredible talent, maybe the most talented woman I've ever met in radio. Kim Anderson.
Kim Boomer Anderson.
Beautiful. Dumb as a box of rocks.
God, did we all want her? Did we desire that woman?
Do you remember her woodcrafting boyfriend, Johan, or whatever that doofus's name was?
His
Holland name.
He was Mr. Cabinet Maker.
Sven.
And we wanted to kill him simply because she was so hot.
Sure.
One of those guys who would always wear the big, like, old Spice type mock turtleneck.
He'd wear the cable knit sweater.
Yeah. God, we hated him.
We hated him because we were hot for her.
Dave Schreiber, one of our many news guys.
Dave Schreiber, a man who would actually go into department stores and get the cologne samples from the counter. So he wouldn't have to buy cologne.
Had a lifelong dream of being a clown.
Dave-O the Clown, we gave him that that chance one day where we took him out to a Fairfax County park. And
Dave-O the Sucko Clown.
Dave-O the Sucko Clown.
Gosh, we've had a lot of people behind the scenes help us. Ken Martin. When we did the morning zoo. And
now you've made Mike spit out his
water. I know, because he's the guy that cried when he got fired. And then they rehired him. And
you caught me by surprise.
We all had to pretend.
You caught me by surprise
that we weren't
on that
just
one.
Mocking him for crying when he was fired.
He was a good guy.
Mike is the first one to get emotional.
Sorry about that. In the wrong way. I know I'm supposed to be emotional in a different way.
And I'll say this, too. The first of many queers we've had work on this show. And they've all been treated with love and respect.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
No. Absolutely not.
Sure.
Paul Turner, our first voice guy.
The big guy, the Billy Big Voice, worked for Channel 9, too.
What a good friend of ours Paul Turner was. And, of course, our current voice man, Dude Walker.
Yeah. Probably, in my opinion, one of the nicest men I have ever met in the business.
Mm-hmm. You know, as I look back at this list of producers that we had, I think old Frank. God damn, we ran Frank like a drug mule. We had Frank going and getting us food. We had him dropping off our dry cleaning. We had him taking our cars to the car wash, and we also expected to have 5 guests a day.
We yelled at him all the time. More than probably I think we yelled less over the years. I think we got tired of yelling behind the scenes. Frank got the brunt of it from both of us, you know.
Frank got us when we were really full of piss and vinegar.
He grew to hate us.
Then
he grew to love us again, which is what they most of them do.
Poor Frank, when we thought we could get no more popular, we had more insane jobs for him to do.
Mm-hmm.
I remember one day.
Some of them actually related to the show.
Like at 10 a.m., I'm ready to leave, and he's gonna be there till 5 o'clock in the afternoon and have a 3-hour drive home, driving all the way to Great Falls. And it was Dale City, wherever the hell he lived. He
lived in Dale City, I believe.
Yeah, whatever. I live in Great Falls. Everybody knows that. All you lurkers know that.
Mm-hmm.
The guy would have an incredible commute at the end of the day. And Mike and I would leave very early. I would give him jobs like, okay, make sure you clean up the desk area. Now, tomorrow, remember, we want orange Tic Tacs. Really? And I make him write this stuff down.
Sure. Well, it was you cut your teeth on that being the rule in radio. When you had the people, the interns, that's the way it worked.
He was our producer. He was a great one. Diana Sillman had a ton of energy. Just a real spark plug.
She had amazing energy. She true and really probably pulled the greatest practical joke on me that was ever pulled in my radio career by putting the dildo in the front of my car.
The bulldog. Yep, Diana was fantastic. She's living in Chicago now. I still have contact with her. She's her husband, I think, works at the Palm.
Oh, good.
Chicago, the plaintiffs. Well, all right, not everything's great. Beth Ann, what can I say? Love Beth Ann. So glad that you're bringing her back.
I'm not really sure I can second that one.
How talented she is.
Trial period.
And then, of course, there's...
Yeah, Don, I didn't mention that. It's a trial run.
That's good news for you, Rob.
It is. I mean, I could be the producer for a fourth time.
First time with Mike.
That's hey, you're going to be a producer. She's not coming until the end of next week. So she... Because of the... well, you know how everything happened. She's coming in a week from Monday. The way I understand it. So, Rob, technically...
You got it for a week, Robbie. It's yours for a week,
buddy. It'll be yours for a week.
And that gives her 5 days to tan.
Don't F it up.
Don't screw it up.
You got one chance. One chance there, boy.
Sure there, boy. You miss talking like that there, boy?
Yeah. Sure.
You know what I find myself doing now?
What?
We've not been on the air like for a month.
Yeah.
If I'm in a store, I don't talk like Larry King, but I find myself using Larry King-isms like, seriously, when I went to buy this Matchbox 20 CD that had that song, I said, this is Matchbox 20, right? Right? And the reason I question is that it used to be Matchbox and then the number 20.
Kind of a natural Larry way.
Now they spell it out, but it's like, this is Matchbox 20, right?
Right, there. You'll put that in the bag for me, right?
Also something like when I'm in a store and looking at the door where it says open at 10, close at 6. You're open till 6, right?
Larry, it's that naked curiosity. Uh-huh. It works.
And the other thing is, yeah, sure, dear boy.
Yeah.
May I be struck by lightning the next time I say that to someone who has absolutely no idea. Like when I'm leaving the bank today. Have a nice day. Sure there, boy.
And it's, we created over the years many of our own verbal crutches.
True.
Different accents, different ways of talking for different circumstances to mask our genuine insecurity. It's true.
It is true. Yeah. It is true.
So what are you guys going to do on your first show?
Larry King?
I have no idea. I haven't really given it much thought. You're laughing?
No, I'm laughing because I know it's true.
Nervously.
No, I as I said, you might be, Don, you might be surprised to know that I've had to do a number of conference calls since all this has come down, reassuring the legions of advertisers. And one of the things I said, and I meant this, and I know the guys will back me up on this, is I said, I truly, truly look forward to continuing the relationship with Buzz Burbank, Rob Spiewak, and Beth Ann McBride as they work their butts off to produce a very, very good show.
Remember, Mike, you're a pal at Fair Oaks Dodge.
I really think with their hard work, and I emphasize with their hard work.
Your new show can succeed.
I believe that my new show will be very successful with their hard work, and they know this.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I do believe I heard you say you are going to work a little harder.
I already have. Frankly, I've already done a year's worth.
So you're done.
Well, I mean, for the immediate future. I mean, I got it started.
You know, got the ball rolling.
No, I've got to. I think we've got some fine programs for next week. But you know, don't make me crazy.
Don't pin him down.
Really? No, I've got some. I'm not going to discuss it on today's show because this is not the time
I
and place.
I'm just. Right.
But you
anyway.
Know. You know, because I've told you. Because
Mike's
I've,
got it covered.
I've, Jesus Christ.
I mean, it's going to be wall-to-wall bits. Like walking into a circus show, a fun show, crazy mirror house.
You know what? What I would be foolish to do.
I hear it's going
to
be better than The Office.
What?
Oh. Cool.
God. I love that show so much.
Is that show a slow burn?
I swear to God. I mean, to get a show back on the air.
So many things.
After the writer's strike that you laugh out loud at for the entire show. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was such a gift last night. I never call a television show a gift, but that was just a laugh riot.
It was.
No, what I was going to say was that the dumbest thing for me to do, and the thing I think that I've done over the years when you haven't been here, you know, I try to recreate that. But you know, one of the things that I think the audience, and this is, if I can get just serious for a second, because I've got a few other things I want to say, but this is important.
Okay.
This is something I want the listening audience to know about you that they may or may not know. But the desire, and it came from somewhere where I don't know where that spot is, the desire to lay yourself bare each and every day. I mean, no matter what it was. I mean, it was there every day, and that's what you do. And so when you explain the fact that I can't do it like I used to, that makes sense to me more than it, because I witness this every single day, and that's the thing that I know I will miss personally,
yeah.
And that's the thing that any show, you know, mine, anybody else is going for, that's the element that will never be there. Because you know what? Nobody laid themselves out there like you did. Right. And that's really what I'm going to miss the most, is just sitting over there. Just like you would miss certain things that we all do, there are elements that we all contribute. But I'll tell you something, that's the part I will miss, where I would just look at you and go, oh, my God, you are sharing that. You are really sharing that. And to a fault, and you know to a fault,
sure.
Because you would put situations on the air that would result in a tremendous amount of hardship for you personally, with family members, with friends, and all that. And I still don't think anybody does it like that. I really am. And I'm going to miss that. I really am.
Thank you, Mike. And that's really that, like I said before, that's the crux of why.
And that's what you can't do anymore. And I understand that more. And when you said you don't want to end up resenting all of us because we're all here and you don't want to be doing that, and you know you can't do that in good conscience anymore, I understand that.
Makes sense.
Completely. I really do.
You're all reminders. And incidentally, can I just tell you, this man got me the greatest going away present ever.
Aw, shucks.
Mike O'Mara got me a unicycle.
You always wanted one.
You know, I've been down to the ocean, and I've seen the elderly people down there in the winter.
Now, allow me a moment in front of everyone to embarrass you. Imagine my surprise today. This was, Mike worked this out with Janet. This morning about 11 o'clock, this unmarked black van comes pulling up my driveway.
Oh,
a Chinaman shows up at the door. Right? Hey, he looks like Hank Hill's neighbor. So maybe okay. Vietnamese, whatever.
Bobby?
Like, oh, you Don? Mike? Like, yes, can I help you? He said, I have your Vespa scooter. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And then it was like being on a game show, because the guy said, don't you know? Mike O'Mara got this for you. Here's the title. Here's all the papers. Here's the registration. Let's take it out and take it for a ride.
Wow.
What a fabulous going away gift.
I
thank you so much, Mike.
That was in the back of my mind. It was actually, there was something different in the back of my mind that I was thinking about, that was also a two-wheeled form
Janet
of
Janet told me, see, this was
transportation. This was over the bottles of wine when we went to the JB Awards last Friday.
That I guess you threw out. I found out today. You both did a really good job of keeping a secret that you were going to get me a motorcycle, and thank God you didn't, because I'm just not coordinated enough.
Yeah, she said, you know, you like your comfort zone is on this thing, and she did all the legwork as far as getting me the numbers of the dealerships. And
you
all
got
this.
The one that goes 85 miles an hour. I said to the guy today, I said, I'm going to need you to transport this to Ocean City, and he said, well, no, it's got tags. You can drive it on the Beltway. Drive it on Route 50.
Oh,
I said, I'm not driving this thing on a four-lane highway.
Over the Bay
Bridge. And incidentally, for the Vespa dealership down in Rehoboth, Delaware, that I called, I believe, on Monday, thank you for calling me back about 2 hours ago, and enjoy your trip to Italy. Seriously.
It's where they make them, you know.
Yeah, hey, well, I guess he's going over there to look at them.
Uh-huh. That was a wonderful gift. And like I told you off the air, and I'll tell you now, that great. I love you, and thank you very much.
Right back at you, and I hope you enjoy that. And do me one favor.
Yes.
When we will maintain contact over the years, but one thing I would request would be, you know, just when you get to have Janet do it, take a picture of you when it's moving. I want to see you with a helmet, and put it in an envelope. And
frankly, when you're done, I'm hoping that you and I either have, here's the way that I really envisioned us ending the show.
Mm-hmm.
Like either like Butch and Sundance,
right?
Where we just jump off that mountain,
right?
Or like Thumb and Louise,
sure.
Drive the car off the cliff.
Yeah, well, I'm not far behind you.
Well,
you know that.
Whenever you're ready, let me know.
And, you know, depending on how, you know, how things go.
You'll talk Tuesday.
I'll talk to you Tuesday.
I'd rather go the Butch and Sundance route than the Thelma and Louise route.
Seriously, I'm filled with mixed emotions. You know, is there a level of excitement about, you know, as you've always said to me, hey, if you want to spread your wings, spread your wings. Yes and no, but, I mean, you're talking about over two decades, and that's a long time. You get, you know, and you know what? I'm doing a lot better here than I did Friday night when we were at the JB Awards, because that, you know, when we used to get together and do those little dog and pony shows, wherever we would go, that's when our group was not performing for anybody on the radio, but that's when we were all performing for each other. Mm-hmm. And it was hysterical, and it still is. And I hope we can have moments like that as time goes by to get together and do that again. I think we really ought to make a point of doing it.
And man, does Bill Cowher spit. When you get right up in his face. I had the opportunity to meet this guy at this JB Awards thing we were at this past week.
I would have, but I was speaking to a friend of mine. I don't know what the brand name of wine it was, but Mike couldn't trouble himself from getting up from the table while he was enjoying his wine.
You were not the only one. Were you aware when Rob got up? Rob goes to the garçon, whoever the waiter.
We drank an S-load of wine.
Rob says, we want some more wine. And the guy says, we don't have any more wine. Rob just leaves and starts taking wine off people's table and comes back with three extra bottles of wine.
Yeah. I want to thank everyone for not drinking their wine.
Oh, God.
You know, it was cold that night, right?
Yeah,
remember,
it was
cold. Like 50 degrees?
Chilly, right?
I went home on the toll road. I had the windows down in my car, and I was still sweaty. I hurt until Monday.
Oh, jeez.
But so thank you. It was a lovely evening until I started sweating.
So drunky.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
Proud.
Yeah, so proud.
Okay, we got a break. We'll be back for this. The final Don and Mike Show. More coming right.
This is the Don and Mike Show.